Yeah, show me your boobs.
Boo. Ah.
Cooper.
I know.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Show me your boobs again.
Okay. Let's do it.
I just showed mine, so...
You scared me.
I know. So anyway, here we are again with Show Me Your Boobs. This is some of my favorite ones because, you know, it's people telling us stories and that's fun for me.
I like hearing it too.
Mm-hmm. Do you like really crazy stories? Like ones that you're like you wouldn't believe it?
I mean, yeah. Because if you trust people enough to tell the truth, it's insane what people have been through.
Yeah.
And has witnessed.
I'm glad you said that. So this one, and so I'm going to tell you just from the beginning, we only have one story tonight. But it stands on its own because you don't need to hear any other stories once you've heard this one, because you're going to be thinking about this one for a while. It kind of jacked my world up, as it did the listener who called in. We're going to hear from Michelle, and she, wow, what she went through. So she warned me ahead of time that we might need to go slow. She might get emotional. Because it was a very traumatic experience for her, and it's hard for her to tell. Yeah.
My heart.
And so, basically, so normally when I have people call in, we talk, we get comfortable.
Bodhi wants to be on air.
Yes, he does. And Bodhi's taking this over. But anyway, normally I get to know them a little bit, kind of get comfortable. Because it's nerve-wracking. I know when I called in on Hillbilly Horror Stories the first time, I was like, like I couldn't even breathe. I don't think I breathed the whole time. So I know how scary it is. So let's just talk a little and get comfortable. And then I start recording and introduce them. And that's what you hear post-production, right? So that's the plan. But...
You did not get to do this?
I didn't get to do that with Michelle. And here's why. And it's because I recognized how difficult this was for her to tell. She does not tell this story to people. It's not something she shares. Mainly, I believe, probably because of some of the reactions she's probably gotten from people who just don't believe her.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah. And so I realized quickly, oh, we're not going to do that. So I just hit record. So you're not going to hear the big, hey, Michelle, yeah. Thanks for calling in. You're not going to hear that. Because I just had to just hit record real quick to try to start getting what she was saying, because she just started talking. And I knew that what it had taken for her to get to that point to tell the story, and I was not going to stop her and be like, hey, can we do a really cool intro on this? Or no, wasn't going to do that. So she's just going to start talking, and that's not there. And then, so after you listen, because you don't know the story yet, so after you listen, we're going to talk about it, because you're going to have your mind blown, and you're going to be like, questioning things and thinking about this for a while.
Wow.
I promise
you. I'm excited to hear this.
Yes. So here is, I hope you guys enjoy this as much as I did, because it's one of the best stories I've ever had. It's different than anything we've ever had. And I think you're going to enjoy it because I did. Here is Michelle telling her story. Enjoy.
Let's do this.
So all of my life, I've kind of had this, I call them flashcards, because I don't know any other word for them. So it's almost like, and I don't get them with everyone or all the time, but sometimes when I need to know something, it's like suddenly I start seeing these flashcards. They sometimes make no sense to me, and it takes me a while, and I'm like, oh, that's what was. Anyway, so I've always been kind of like, I feel like a magnet to the paranormal world, you know?
Yeah. No, I do know.
<That's>... Yeah. And when I was young, I was probably 8 years old the first time that I knew that I was different in that sense.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time that I ever had like a true premonition. And I spent most of my childhood and even into early adulthood just trying to suppress it, make it go away, ignore it, because it made me feel crazy. It made me feel not normal, you know? Because people, when you tell them things, they look at you like, yeah, okay, all right, whatever. And so I'm just like, oh, whatever. So with that being said, I will share my story with you just because I know you're going to get it.
Okay.
And I really, I haven't told it a lot of times just because it was so traumatic for me.
Oh, wow.
So I was probably about 19, I think it was about 19, and it was New Year's Eve night, okay?
Okay.
I had gone on a date in Poplar Bluff with this boy, and 9 o'clock movie, and we drove back to Van Buren. Now, I lived in Elsinore. We both lived in Elsinore, and we drove back to Van Buren, and he asked me, he said, have you ever been to Skyline Drive? And I said, no, I heard about it because what I knew of Skyline Drive is that's where people went to make out, you know?
Oh, okay.
I said, no, but I heard about it. And he said, well, it's really pretty. He said, there's lots of lights. You know, you can see all the lights of town. And he said, you want to go? And I said, sure. So we get up there, and we're sitting in the car. We have the cars running because it's January. It's cold. And, but it's in park and we're looking off over, you know, and he's showing me, you know, those lights over there, that's, you know, to whatever. And those lights over there, that's to whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and it's just kind of pretty because it was a starry night and really clear. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I said, well, what's that light? And my first initial instinct was, he brought me up here to have somebody play a joke on me. There's somebody up there with a spotlight and they're playing a trick on us.
Uh-huh.
And I said, so what's that light? And he said, I don't know. He said, I think it's an old power light or something. And I was like, oh, no, it looks kind of fishy. And it was about the size of a spotlight. And then all of a sudden, it went to like a really small, bright red light. And I was like, Billy, look, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, it went out. And I was like, yep, he's brought me up here to play a trick on me. And I said, are you messing with me? He said, no. And I said, well, what is that light? I said, I don't like that light. And about that time, the light came back on, and it was just right above the trees. But it lit up really, really bright. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Because just for an instant, I didn't know what was happening. And I said, it's shooting stars. And then I was like, wait, no, it's not. Because all of a sudden, it just shot out this perfect, like, triangular red beam of light. that came down on top of our car. This thing was so close that, like, I could see the bottom of it, and I could see, like, this red beam of light shooting down on the car. And so I started screaming. I was like, Billy, go, go. What is that? Go. So he throws the car in drive, and he absolutely, by now it's so bright, I can see inside the car. The car's lit up. You know, it's red, but it's lit up.
Wow.
And he is absolutely standing on the accelerator, just flooring it, and we're barely going. Whoa. And it is almost like a magnetic force, like it was had a magnetic pull on the car. And I kept screaming, go, Billy, go, go. And he kept saying, I can't, I can't. And all of a sudden, the light went out, and we just, like, shot down the hill just as fast as we could. Well, I'm freaking out, completely freaking out. I'm crying, and I'm like, let's go, let's go. And I don't know what to do because I can still see it in the sky, but now it's back to, like, a little ball of light.
Weird.
So as we're going back into Van Buren, do you know where Skyline Drive is?
I don't.
Okay. So from Winona, right before you cross the bridge, you know, you turn right to go like you're going to Big Springs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When you get to the top of the hill, if you take a right, that road is what they call Skyline Drive.
Okay.
That road through there. So anyway, when we come back down and just before we started to cross the bridge, it just sucked up into what it looked like a very, very bright star setting in the sky. We flew across the bridge, and as soon as we got across the bridge, well, Billy said, okay, this is not possible. We did not see what we just think we saw. I'm going back. And I said, if you're going back, you're going to let me out because I'm not going back. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back.
Right.
And he said, well, I know it's not real. He said, I just want to go back. He said, I don't know what's happening, but I want to go back. And I said, well, you're going to have to let me out. And I started to get out of the car, and I thought, oh, wait, if I get out of the car, I'm going to be on foot.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to get out. So we went back across the bridge, and as soon as we got back across the bridge, it, like, shot right back down toward our car. We spun back around, went back across the bridge, flew into a parking lot where there was a city cop sitting there. Well, here we are, two teenagers. It's New Year's Eve night, okay, and we're both in hysterics, trying to tell him about this thing that's at the other end of the bridge that's in the sky that came down on our car, shot this red beam of light, and, you know, we don't know what to do. And of course, the cops looking at us like, yeah, you kids need to go on home now.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, anyway, so by that time, I'm guessing it from Poplar Bluff to Van Buren might have been 45 minutes. So the show got out around 11. So that put us there about 11:45 at Van Buren. This whole incident happened like within the first few minutes that we were there. So I would say it was probably around 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock uh-huh. at the latest when we head back toward Elsinore. So we get out of town, out of Van Buren, just heading on 60 East, going toward Elsinore. And all of a sudden, here comes that stupid thing. And I mean, it is riding right beside me. I could have rolled down my window and stuck my hand out and touched it. And I began screaming, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I don't want to see it, I don't want to see it. So I took the sun visor and I flipped it down and I flipped it over toward the window as if that's going to protect me. But I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
And when I did, the sun visor fell off on the floor.
Oh, good gracious.
Oh, my gosh. I had a meltdown. I was just freaking out. And Billy was like, it's okay. It was already broken. It was broken. And I was like, I want to go home. I want to go home. And he's like, I'm going. And I looked down, and we're doing like 85, 90 miles an hour. And this thing is right there beside me the whole time. The next thing I know, we're rolling into Elsinore. There's a little 24-hour stop there, little cafe that, you know, it was open 24 hours. And so he said, you want to stop and go in and have some coffee? And I was like, yeah. And I was shaking so hard. So we got in there. And we ordered coffee. And I realized that after I ordered coffee, my hands were shaking so hard, I couldn't hold the cup. I could not hold the cup. And I kept thinking, what's wrong with me? You know? And he was the same way. He was shaking just as hard. And I said, what's happened? And he's like, I have no idea. He said, I don't know what that was. But he said, it had to have been something. He said, but that's It wasn't what we think it was. And I said, I don't know what it was, but it was terrifying. And so the lady that was working in there, I remember asking her, I looked down at my watch and I said, because I'm wondering what time it is. So I looked down at my watch and I was like, oh, my watch isn't, my battery's dead or something. I said, my watch is wrong. And I asked the waitress, I said, hey, I said, what time is it? And she said, it's 5:30. I said, what? She said, it's 5:30. I said, 5:30? And she said, yeah. And I was like, and I just looked at Billy and I was like, does that sound right to you? And he said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I don't know either, but you're going to take me home. So I got home, and when I walk in the door, my mom is just getting up out of bed. And I'm just in hysterics, bawling, and I'm just blubbering all this out. You know, I don't want her to leave. I don't want her to go to work. I want her to stay home because I'm terrified. I don't know what's just happened. And, you know, anyway. So he stayed for a little bit, and then he went on home. And anyway, it was literally weeks after that, maybe even a month, before I would ever go outside after dark. I was petrified.
Yeah.
About a week later, I was taking a shower, and I noticed this bump on my arm, on the bend of my elbow. And I thought, what in the heck is that? And it was just a little raised spot. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I just went about my business. And after I finally got to where I'd come out of the house, you know, I don't know why. I don't know what happened, but Billy and I just, I mean, like, we never dated again. I guess it was just such a traumatic thing. We just, like, we never dated again.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, 6 months later, I had to have a complete hysterectomy. Okay? I was 20. Because 6 months later, I had a complete hysterectomy.
Wow. Okay?
Anyway, I remember seeing him just shortly after that, you know, it may have been a year after that. And I was like, hey, how are you doing? I said, oh, my gosh, I've not seen you since our last date. And he looked at me and he said, what? And I said, date that we went on? And he's like, did we have a date? I said, are you kidding me? And he laughed and he said, no. He said, you know who I am, right? I said, yes. I know exactly who you are. I said, you know who I am, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, why do you not remember going out with me? And so I start creating this whole, telling him about this date. No memory of it. None. Zero. Wiped out of his mind. Gone. Gone. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So for the next, well, I'm trying to think of how long it was. Until probably 2000, maybe 2000. 20 years ago. Maybe it was 15 years ago. Every night, I guarantee you, and I told Rick whenever I met Rick, I said, do you believe in strange things? He's like, nope. I said, no ghosts, no UFOs, no nothing. Nope. And I said, well, boy, aren't you in for a shock. I said, because I am a magnet. And he said, well, he said, I certainly have to see it to believe it. And I said, well, you stick around me long enough, you will. Because I'm telling you, they track me. They follow me. They follow me every time I am out after dark. And he's like, no way. I said, oh, yes, way. I promise you. And every single night that I would go out, I could pick them out of the sky. And I'd be like, there they are. And the instant that it would get into, I would get to an isolated area, zoom, here they'd come right down close to me. And I learned over the years that I could get away from them by staying where there was a lot of light. You know, like if I'd go into the city or, you know, just stay where there's a lot of lights, they wouldn't bother me. So his daughter, Christy, we were taking Shelby down to Winona to her dad's and for the weekend. And on the way down there, I just knew that night was not going to be a good night. Christy was driving and we were on the way down there and I could see, and I said, Christy, and I didn't want to scare Shelby. And I said, pay attention to what's happening above. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, just pay attention. Of course, Shelby's like, what is it, Mom? What is it? And I am telling you, I mean, it would go from like a solid, bright light to like three tiny red lights, and then it sucked back up into one bright light, and then it disappeared. It was just all kinds of things that it kept doing, you know, I don't know if it was to get my attention or if it was taking a reading. I have no idea what it was doing. Yeah. Anyway, so we get down there, we drop Shelby off, and so all the way back home, we keep seeing this, and Christy's like, this is crazy. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I would give anything if I would have the experience that you have, if I could see that. And I said, look, do not wish that while I'm in this car with you, because I'm telling you, I am still terrified of it. And I don't ever want to experience that again.
Yeah.
And I said, don't. And she's like, well, I want to see that. And I was like, well, look in the sky. Do you see what's happening? I do, but I want to see it up close. And I said, will you stop saying that until I get home? I said, you wait until I get home, and then you can go out and run around, and you can do whatever you want. So we got back to Marshfield, and she had to go over to her mom's because her mom had left something in the crock pot, and she wanted Christy to go to her house and shut it off or something. Anyway, so on the way over to her mom's, I told Christy, I said, I'm going to wait in the car for you, but you hurry up. You get in there and you get back out. And I'm telling you, if I'm not here when you get back out, you tell them where I went. They sucked me up and they took me, because I always think that's what happens to some missing people. You know,
yeah.
I think that they're gone. They're sucked up there. And she's like, don't be messing with me. And I said, I'm not messing with you. I'm telling you right now, they are hot on my trail, and I just want to go home. So you get in there and get out and get me home. Anyway, so she comes out, she gets in the car, and she's like, if you hadn't have been here whenever I got out, she said, I would have shit my pants. And I started laughing. I said, well, get me home while I'm still in this car. We go out, pull up on the road, and we head down the road, and I swear to you, all of a sudden, it lands. It just stops, like dead in the center of the road. It's a light that's shining so bright, like takes up the whole size of the road, and it's coming right at us. And oh, Christy starts freaking out, and she's like, what do I do? I said, go. And she's like, how? And I said, throw it in reverse and go. And so she did. She threw it in reverse. She went probably 90 miles an hour backwards. Terrified me, but I don't know which I was more terrified of. And then we, she got turned around. It's still, by that time, after we got turned around, it sucked back up into a ball of light. And now it's following us in the sky. And she's like, what do I do? I said, Go to where there's light. I said, it'll leave you alone if you go to where there's light. And so we went to where there's light. From that night on, that was the last night that they ever bothered me. That was it. They were done. I've never been bothered by them again. Christy, on the other hand.
Oh, no.
Yes. She's like, I can't even go outside at night anymore. They're everywhere.
Oh my goodness. It like just passed from you to her.
Yes.
Oh no.
Yes.
She Isn't shouldn't that have wished crazy? That, right?
That's what I said. I said, you wish that? And she's like, I cannot believe that happened. That's like unbelievable. And I was like, yes, I know this. But yeah, that's the last time that they ever bothered me. But I'm telling you, I am missing 4 to 5 hours of my life.
Yeah.
But I have no idea where it went.
So when you were telling the story, that's what I was going to ask, because you said the next thing you knew you were in Elsinore.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, yeah, but when did you lose them? And then I realized, No, you lost like hours. You don't know when you lost them.
Exactly. We literally lost 4 to 5 hours. 4 minimal. I'm thinking closer to 5. Yeah.
That's nuts.
And I don't remember anything. And somebody said, well, did you get roofied? I'm like, no, I did not get roofied. They didn't have, like, roofie drugs back in my day, you know?
Yeah.
But
that is a crazy story.
It is crazy. And, you know, and I... Before it happened to me, if someone would have told me that story, I would have found every excuse in the world as to why it wasn't true. You know, well, maybe it was this, or maybe it was that, or maybe, you know. And, no, it was real. I could draw you a picture of it. Now, I didn't see any little alien bodies or any, you know, and I have no memory of being on a ship. An aircraft. I don't nothing of that. But I can draw you a picture of what the outside that looked like, because I saw it up close and personal. You know.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Like what it looked like.
It actually looked like the traditional like saucers, like the UFO flying saucers, the pictures that you see.
Yeah.
With the little square windows all the way around it. Yeah. Yeah, and those little square windows, they had lights right above them. And so it was like red, blue, yellow, green, orange, and those lights just flashed all the way around that, all the way around that thing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, the stories that you hear, they're so consistent. That's the same thing everyone says, pretty much. There's always some kind of something else that somebody notices, but... It's crazy that
there's two things that one thing really that I believe, you know, what made me think about this was your story of the Clearwater sighting. And I remember that. I was a young kid, but I remember hearing about that because it's over close to Elsinore.
Yeah.
But what I am convinced of is most of the sightings happen around water.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow believe that those, I don't know if that they fuel with water or if they, you know, I don't know the importance of water to their craft, but yeah. Most everybody that I've heard that has, you know, seen them, there's been a body of water close.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's weird. A consistency too. Also. So I got to ask you, because I say like a skeptical believer, but in my experience, anytime I have experienced something paranormal, especially something as just crazy as what you just explained, after the fact, I even questioned myself, like, did it really happen? Did you ever have that moment where you're like, am I just crazy?
Well, yeah, like, especially whenever he doesn't remember going on a date with me.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's all like, him.
Here's the thing. My mom knew whenever I came in that house that something was wrong. And I think her first initial thought was that he had raped me or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think because I was just bawling and I couldn't hardly even tell her what had happened. And she kept saying, well, calm down. What's wrong? What's wrong? Anyway, and so as time went on, like I said, I mean, it was very fresh and very real in my mind. Like, I could see it. I could draw pictures. And I couldn't sleep because every time I'd go to sleep, that's all I could think about. And I was terrified. And I remember the first time I tried telling the story, and it was probably to my best friend, and she got tickled and started laughing. Well, of course, I was sobbing uncontrollably, bleeding my heart out to her, and I was like, stop laughing at me, because I'm telling you the truth. And she's like, do you know how ridiculous this sounds? And I said, I do, but I promise you, it's all real. And then I think about, you know, the police officer that, you know, we stopped and talked to.
Mm-hmm.
So I do question a lot. You know, was it real? Did it happen? Did I dream it? Was it, you know, but I know it wasn't a dream. Mm-hmm. I know I still have the scar on my arm that who knows what it was or where it came from.
Yeah.
It just mysteriously, like I said, about a week later, it was there. And I was like, what the heck? But yes, I was very skeptical before. I mean, if I would have heard this story from anybody, I'd have been like, okay. I would have thought all the same things. I think that you got drugged. I think that, you know, he took you up there with the intentions of, you know, okay, well, if he took me up there with those intentions, I don't think it worked. You know, and here's the thing. Ironically, he was very religious person. His family, they were Pentecostal, very, very religious.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, like, well, the date was kind of wrecked, but like he wouldn't hold my hand. He wouldn't, you know, he didn't kiss me. He was just very, very reserved.
Yeah.
You know, nice guy, really nice guy. But we never dated again.
Wow.
And he doesn't recall ever even dating me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My life, I was traumatized. And then all I'm thinking is, oh, they've erased his memory.
Yeah.
They have erased that from his mind.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what it sounds like. I don't know how else you explain that.
I don't know either, but I was just like, oh my gosh. So rather than stand there and look like an idiot trying to convince him that, you know, we went on a date because my mom's not there to go, well, Billy, you walked in my house at 5:30 in the morning with her, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, well, it was good seeing you again.
Oh,
isn't that bizarre? Yeah. So there you go. You're one of few people who have got that whole story. And like I said, I don't tell it often because it sounds so insane, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's real. And like I said, 6 months later, I had a complete hysterectomy. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. But
so
anyway,
I got to ask you, do you care if we share this?
No, okay. I don't mind.
All right. I recorded it because I thought you wanted to share it, but I wanted to make sure before I go throwing your stuff out there that you...
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. You know, because it is what it is.
Yeah.
And people will either believe it or they won't. You'll have some that will and you'll have some that won't.
Yeah.
I can't change that.
No.
I can't change it, you know? I'm just thankful that they stopped following me.
Lord, I bet.
I know that Rick, more than once, he's been with me, and I would point him out, and I would say, there it is. And he's like, that's just a star. I'm like, no, it's not. You watch it. It is not a star. And then we would, you know, be going down the highway, and then he could see it moving. He's like, well, it's an airplane. No, it's not. I promise you it's not an airplane. And he'd be 100% convinced it's an airplane. No, it's not. And so I would literally stop. I would stop, park the car. It would stop.
Wow.
I'd be like, huh, how come that airplane ain't moving? He'd be like, I don't know. Let's go, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't want to stick around and find out.
Yeah, I don't know, but let's don't sit here on the side of the road. Let's go. Let's move. And so he has witnessed that, you know, several times, but not since that last time. That was the end. And I really feel like that. I really feel like that was just, and look, I've thought about it for a lot of years, and I thought, okay, so I haven't done a lot of research or study or anything really on UFOs or anything like that, just from, you know, what I hear of other people and other stories.
Mm-hmm.
As far as research, I've done none. Even after this event, I've done none. But I've thought a lot about it as to, well, trying to make sense of what happened, why, what, you know. And the only thing that I could come up with, I kept thinking, all right, so they, in my mind, I convinced myself, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I believe that that little thing on my arm was a tracker. And I believe they really did track me. And I believe that after whatever it was that they did during those 4 or 5 hours, that they wanted to follow up and see, you know, what happened over time or what, you know, I don't know. But then I know that all of a sudden when it was done, it was done.
Right.
It's like, okay, the study's over. We want some fresh meat now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It really is.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you girls keep doing a good job, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you. You have a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I agree with your...
I know. And I was going to cut the end out, but I thought it was so funny and like really spoke to how I felt after hearing it. I just had to go, what? Like, what did I just hear? Because it's that crazy. So I want to lead by saying she mentions a lot of places that a lot of the listeners maybe don't know, because she knew that we're local to that area. So she's talking about Van Buren. She's talking about Elsinore. She's talking about Ellington. She talked about Winona, Marshfield, a lot of places, because we're locals and we know what she's talking about. So she also mentions her husband, Rick. I mean,
everybody knows Rick.
Yeah. So people who know this family, know this area, that they know who that is. And so she knew that I was familiar and she could just talk that way. So maybe it's confusing to you. Don't be confused by it. It's not terribly important in the story, because what happened is what's important, really. And holy crap. So I just want to get your initial reaction because you just heard it for the first time. Yeah.
Wow. Like, to know somebody that actually experienced that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, not just, like, more than just sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lost hours.
Yeah.
And a gentleman that don't recall any of that day.
Mm-hmm. What? That's what I mean. When she's telling the story and she was like, she's saying, you know, that they're driving toward Elsinore. And so, first of all, Elsinore and Van Buren are not that far apart.
No.
What do you think? 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Normal speed, probably? And she about says 60. They're going 85, yeah. 90 miles an hour to get rid of this thing. And I don't know, back then it was probably two lanes only.
Still, there's no more than 40-minute drive. If
no.
If anything.
Hmm.
If that.
If that.
Yeah.
And...
But a few hours?
4 hours later, what? They arrive in Elsinore. That's, no, it's not possible.
No.
They could have walked there in that amount of time.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And then his memory is completely wiped of the whole situation.
You think he just got in shock so much that he just blocked it out? You know, like you've heard of people mentally blocking a situation out.
Like
so.
Repressing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
He seemed more calm than she was.
Yeah. Like, so you know where Skyline Drive is. I didn't recognize the name.
I took you there.
Yeah, I know. That's what...
Let me be clear. We was dating a while before I took her there.
And we saw no UFOs that we remember.
I just took you there because it is a nice, beautiful drive up above the town. And you can see the river. And
Yeah, so it's funny because Van Buren is actually where my mom is from, grew up there, and she says Skyline Drive, and I have no idea where it is, but I'm sure if I asked my mom, she'd be like, oh, yeah, I've been up there lots of times. No, but seriously, I didn't recognize, I'd never heard it called that before.
Right.
But, so, we're sitting in the car... And there's a bright light that comes down and shines over the car so much you can see inside the car. What?
For real. And she up close and personal seen the object.
Yeah.
Like, talked about the windows and then the lights above the windows being different colors. What?
And so also, you mentioned him. What if his memory is just, you know, repressed? But he wanted to go back and see it again because he couldn't believe what he had seen.
That's
the first
true.
Time. So he was with it enough to know that this did not make sense in his mind and he needed to see it again. If he's that with it afterward, see him repressing it. I don't know. It just, so there's that.
Poof.
The loss of, so we're listening to this story and Terry is sitting across from me listening to it for the first time. And we get to that part of the story where she says it's 5:30 and literally both of us just starts crying.
I did.
And like,
goosebumps crying, like, holy hell.
Yeah. Because I mean, and I don't even know, like, that in itself is not, I don't know, it's crazy, but it's not like emotion evoking, right? But it did, and I think that's part of how she tells the story and how much you feel like she was affected by this. And it's just wild. And I'm interested, like, why her? You know what I mean? Why was she the one? Because was it just hanging out there looking for its human that day?
Maybe.
And I say it because who knows? And it just attached to her.
Mm-hmm. But what do you think about the knot in her elbow?
Yeah. And she says she still has a scar from that, too.
Do you think the hysterectomy has something to do with the
jack? I mean, she clearly does.
Wow.
But, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But it seems like it. 20 years old. I mean, I don't know, you know, what her family history is or anything like that.
Yeah.
That could be something that's common. But that's, it's not common for a 20-year-old to need a full hysterectomy. So, that's...
Especially if it's, like, not
jacked.
The family, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. We don't know her medical history. We wouldn't ask for that anyway, but it just seems, if it wasn't, of course, that's the obvious choice of reason that she would go to is mm-hmm. like, oh, this caused that. And she clearly believes that that's what it was.
Oh, definitely. She mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, man, my heart hurts for her.
I know.
Like, she didn't ask for that. She's not one that would go looking for, you know.
And like she said, if somebody else told her that story, she would not believe it.
Right.
She would think it was crazy. And, oh, man.
And still yet today, she can kind of only spot them mm-hmm. if it happens.
And I ask her that question of, okay, so I have experiences and later go, but did I really experience that? Like, did that really happen? Or is that just me making things up and filling in holes and mm-hmm. something happened and I don't know. So my mind is creating this thing that is a cool story for me to remember. And she kind of said the same thing was, you know, like, am I crazy? But I know it happened.
Right.
Like, I know that it did.
And not just once that night. Like, it literally chased them.
Yeah. And then for years after mm-hmm. that, until somebody like willed it onto themselves, which, whoa.
Just a young buck wanting some
I guess.
To see something.
I,
you want to see stuff. So
I do, but I don't want that experience.
Right.
I enjoy the nighttime. I enjoy the stars. I don't want it ruined for me.
You don't want to have to stay inside at night.
I mean, I'm always, since we've started this and I've really like started looking into UFOs more, I really want to see something. But I don't want it to ruin my life. Like
yeah.
I'm always looking at the sky now to try to see, you know, what's normal and what I can pick out that's not. And I haven't seen anything that's not yet. But so I'm always looking to the sky and I just don't want to see something that does that to me. Like,
don't will it on yourself.
No. So, I mean, I can understand the curiosity and saying, oh man, I wish something like that would happen to me, you know, not thinking it's going to. First of all, she probably didn't believe it was true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she thought, okay, sure, that happened,
whatever.
But
prove it.
Yeah. And now she's like, well, shit. This is great. I don't even know. It's just completely boggled my mind since she told me, and you heard me tell her have a happy Thanksgiving. This was right before Thanksgiving that we recorded this, so a couple weeks ago, and
still thinking about it.
Man, I hadn't edited it, I hadn't looked at it, I hadn't done anything since I recorded it, because I'm like, hearing it again, because listening to her tell it, I was emotional listening to her tell it, and so I'm like, ugh, I have to look at that again, I have to go listen to it, I have to live it again.
You have to feel it. Yeah.
And yeah, and so I was really watching you when you're listening to her story, because I'm like, is this same thing going to happen? Like, are you gonna feel it too? Because I had the goosebumps
uh-huh.
every time there was that moment, and then both of us start crying. I mean, because it's so
good. It's crazy.
She's an excellent storyteller too.
Mm-hmm.
Very good storyteller. But I'm just shocked. So I actually even, I edited out a little area also I cut where she was talking about a family member has a house that's haunted and thinks he has an attachment, something that we might revisit later.
Sounds good.
Because it's a great story too. Mm-hmm. It's quite sad, but this story,
it's one in its own.
Like, I'm still like buzzed from it. Like, it's that crazy. And I don't know. I've never been into UFOs, but man, the more stories I hear,
the more you want to get
the more I'm like, what is going on? Like, something, there's something weird, you know, there's got to be something to it. And everybody has the same story. And she says, you know, she's never researched it, she's never looked into it, but she has the same story from, I'm assuming, probably the 80s. Is this 90s, something
like
that?
The same timeline as the UFOs that was
like, no. She not? Said that she was a child during that time.
When the UFOs was at Clearwater?
Yeah.
Area?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a popular location for them.
Yeah. That's another interesting thing.
So the water thing. What do you think about that?
I think the water thing is very interesting. And I've heard a lot of other people say that. But also they talk about ley lines being a popular...
I forgot about
spot,
that one.
You know, mm-hmm. And the 37th parallel, which is right through there. So there, I mean, there's like a million different things that it could be that make it a prime location.
Right.
I don't know.
We need to start camping in Clearwater again.
I don't know about that.
Are you scared now?
Well, I don't want it following me for like 20 years. Like I said, I enjoy my nighttime outside. I don't want to
have to be afraid of it.
Yeah. I mean, we live in the city and there's lots of light, so I think I'd be okay. But according to her, if you stay in the light, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's great, you know, advice. If a UFO is chasing you.
That problem?
Yeah. Michelle told you how to get rid of it. That's great.
And what a sweet lady.
She's so sweet and funny.
I'm so glad she called in.
And I tried my best not to interrupt and not to. That's why I saved my questions until she was pretty much done, because
just let
she
her go
had to get it,
it
out.
Yeah.
And it was such a joy talking to her. I love talking to our listeners and getting those stories because, well, this one blew my mind. But other than that, I mean, it's just really fun to connect with people over things like this. And I think, especially if you hear a story like this, she had to know that she was in a safe space. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely what this is. It's not my place to tell you what happened or didn't happen. She clearly remembers it that way. So... Mm-hmm.
I believe her.
I do too. So. Why would I question it?
Why would she make up a story like that?
Yeah.
You know? But.
I know. I mean, it's not like we're last podcast on the left or anything. She's not getting fame for it.
Exactly.
She doesn't want to tell people. She doesn't want people knowing who she is, you know? So. And I get that because people get tons of shit when they say something like that. Which is ridiculous.
Right.
Same thing with Bigfoot sightings. I mean, everybody gets the shit. People think they're crazy.
True.
Or just telling stories.
Not me.
But
I believe every bit of it.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think this story stood on its own, right?
Absolutely. We don't need another one.
I know. When I wanted to schedule a Show Me Your Bruise, I was going to, you know, send out the bat signal and say, hey, everybody.
The bat signal.
Yeah. What the? Hey, send me your stories, you know, again. And then I talked to Michelle and was like, well,
never mind.
Never mind. I don't need your stories this week. We'll catch you next time because mm-hmm. this one does not need anything. I wouldn't want to follow this story with mine. Oh, I saw a ghost one time.
I haven't been abducted by aliens by all means.
I know. I mean, we love those stories, but when it comes next to this one, it's like, oh, I can't really top that. So we'll do it on another episode whenever, you know, other people have seen ghosts and it's cool then. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. You've just got a bonus episode about Mrs. Josie Forbes.
Yeah.
Yes, we love her. She probably wouldn't have loved us.
No.
No.
Be in her business too much.
And then Show Me Your Booze. Another volume of Show Me Your Booze is down.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we'll have more great stuff next week. Maybe a murder next week.
I like it.
Something around those lines.
Let's go deep. Let's dig deep into one.
Yes. I want a big one.
Let's do it.
Yes. All right, guys. Have a great, great week. And we will see you soon. Be safe. Stay healthy. All that stuff. We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.